We do encourage you to open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Turn to the back of your program as well. There is an outline there, a text. You can fill in some blanks as we continue our verse-by-verse study through this book of Colossians. We've turned the page to chapter 2. Chapter 2, hidden treasures. Hidden treasures. You might have thoughts of a pirate in your mind. Take them out, because that's not what we're talking about. A number of years ago, maybe 6-7 years ago, when my mom was still living in Port St. Lucie, Florida, went down there to help her purchase a car. That time, she's probably widowed for 10, 11 years. My dad had passed in 2000. And one morning, we just drove to rural areas. I wanted to see all the car dealerships and have her see what style of a car she might like. And everywhere we drove, I saw orange groves, hundreds of orange groves, thousands of orange trees. There were some orange stands, people selling the oranges right on the road. And as we took our look and she had an idea of a car that she wanted, we stopped off at a diner. Had the biggest sign you could ever imagine. It says, the best Florida fresh squeezed orange juice possible. And we walked in, and I'm not a big orange juice guy, but I was sold, man. I was like, orange juice, I want orange juice. But I ordered my omelet and a coffee. My mom ordered what she had. And then as that had come, and halfway through the meal, I said, I'm going to order that orange juice. And I asked the server for a large glass of that famous Florida squeezed orange juice. She came back a few minutes later and said, I'm sorry, sir, we don't have any orange juice. And I'm like thinking, what? I'm from New York, so I'm bantering with her, like, you know, yeah, right, huh, I know. Well, go out in the yard there. There's some orange trees. You squeeze those babies. And she just said, yeah, the machine is broken. Because I knew they had oranges, because on our omelet, I had 4 slices of oranges on my omelet. And so, but here's what she said. The machine that we use broke. And so I began to think, well, before they had the machine, this diner looked pretty old. There was another way to get the oranges out of the orange juice out of the oranges. Wasn't it? I didn't say that to her. My daughter would be very upset if I said something like that to another server. She corrects me now on how servers like to be treated. And so I just was thinking, huh, you know, just grab that baby, squeeze it, give it to me, I'll make myself some orange juice. But I share that as an illustration. This morning, as we look at our text, you know, most of us in this room maybe have come to know Christ already, personally. And you probably have a Bible or two in your home. You might have a radio station or two programmed to a Christian radio station where there's preaching. You might be a part of a Bible study. You come each week to Open Arms, and maybe you're visiting from someplace else, and you hear Bible teaching. Well, what if you lost your phone? The Bible somehow, somebody took them out of your home. Or they left one. The preacher has a cold and he sounds annoying, so you just try and drown him out. Would you be able to be fed? Sometimes we're so dependent on others feeding us that we don't realize the hidden treasure inside of us. And God says, look within if you have Jesus. Ponder his word. You can do that yourself. And watch me unpack and give you understanding of your day, of your circumstance, wisdom on how to apply my help, my knowledge in your life. Today, Paul, as he turns the page in chapter 2, he's speaking to the Colossian church. We already see this was a strong church, mature and maturing church. He encouraged them in that. And he said, as you continue to do that, there's some things I want you to know. And so as you and I go through the scripture, I'm going to read the text. We're going to come back. I'm going to share with you 5 things, just insights that I seem to pull out here that jump off the page to me, that for you and I to stay strong and encouraged in our walk with God and in our relationship with Christ, as a church family, we need to do some things. need to pay attention to some things as we walk alongside one another. But verse 1, Paul writes, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face." Remember, he's in a Roman prison writing this letter. "That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." So number one, staying strong and encouraged in Jesus will take a church family who is concerned for one another, who understands and senses discouragement in each other's lives, and says, "I need, God's give me a heart to what, like what Paul did, to step in and struggle and toil to see them encouraged, to see them move forward with encouragement." He says, "I want you to know how great a struggle." It's the same word we saw last week in verse 29 of chapter 1. It comes from the word agonize. He's talking about this anguish that I have for you. But he wasn't with them. It's the same, you know, where maybe you're listening to the Olympics, watching, picking up some of those things, and there's some physical attributes, and there's been a lot of practice, but there's something about becoming an elite athlete. You go through inner anguish. So much of it is more mental and emotional, even if you have just physical gifts. There's an inner just battling through that second mile when you're training. And here Paul, he's talking about prayer, training. He was in a Roman prison. And that word inside, he goes, I anguish for you. I'm struggling with you. I'm exerting all kinds of energy praying for you. Hopeful for you. Because he says, I know how tough it is. Been in the body of Christ. I've been in local churches. I've planted local churches. And you've got this stuff happening. And that you have these teachers. And we're going to see them unpacked the next couple of weeks. What they were trying to teach. What they were trying to bring in. And he's saying, be concerned for one another. When you see each other discouraged, he goes, because I see that. And my battleground is prayer. And I care about you. And I'm going to sweat in prayer. God says, that's the first thing. I believe that's the first thing for you and I. I mean, something goes wrong. The bent in me is to do all I can to fix it. But there are times that my human ingenuity, my know-how, can't fix it. But I can pray. I can ask God to work in ways that are sovereign, to help my heart, to help the heart of others, whether it's praying for my family and interceding, whatever might be happening, or in our church family. Paul is saying, I'm concerned for you, Colossae. And I have a great struggle for you and also the church in Laodicea. Secondly, for us to stay strong and encouraged in Christ, we as a church family need to be connected with one another in love and learning. Look what he says. Being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. That word knit together is talking about being united, being joined together, having unity, all the mishmash pieces that we are in this room. It's a picture, and he uses that scripture of knit together. He uses that word. It's just a little thing I quilted last night trying to illustrate for you. Guys, can I have a couple of guys come and help me hold this? My wife, she's teaching kids' church. She would say, "Hello, sir." This is her first quilting job when Lexi was an infant. She did a great job. But, you know, as I look at these, each one of these is what he's talking about. There's a piece. I'm a piece. Anthony, maybe you're a few pieces, you know, in there. It's like, you know, we're pieces. All of who we are. He says, I want you to be knit together, in love. In love. He's talking about, turn that around, guys. Yeah, one guy walked the other way. But that's what it looks on the other side. Oh, it looks like one piece. Huh. And that's to be the church. That's not talking about, so we love each other. So, just hugs and hugs, No. Maybe Mark over there, he likes the hugs. If you want to give Mark Altman a hug. But, not others. Again, that was facetious. Don't go near Mark with open arms. So, he's not talking about that. What do you say? That your love would grow in what? In the riches of full assurance and understanding and in knowledge and the wisdom of God, the mystery that what we have in common, we know we can look at each other and we can be around each other. We can open each other's resumes and say, maybe we don't have a lot in common. We have Christ in common. He's brought us together. He says, I've knit you together to love my way. And you take that love and you grow and you learn and you'll have assurance of why I've brought you together. Thank you, fellows. You can fold that up. And why I've brought you together. So he's saying, be connected. Not only in loving one another, but encouraging each other, teaching each other, comforting each other, warning each other with what we have in Christ. And we have his word. And we can come and any one of us should be able to sit alongside and say, here's the Christ who's brought us together. He's broken down every wall, every bias, every prejudice. And we saw Paul last week talking about the Gentiles and the Jews. Who ever thought they could be together? And there they were in Colossae together, loving each other. And in the word, growing and having full assurance and helping each other. And so us as a church, he says, as you do that, being knit together in love, you will reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. And just to remind you that as we step out of that, to who? To what? What does this world have to offer? Christ, he's a mystery until he's yours. I thought I knew about Christ going to church as a child and as a young man, very involved in my family. I didn't understand the mystery of Christ in me, my Savior, the Forgiver, who could help me take all the masks off and just enjoy the identity he has given me, the warts and all. That's a mystery. The world doesn't understand that. We understand it. And so we can walk with each other in love and assurance and understanding, because we have him. And third, for us to be a church that stays strong and connected, we need to be content with mining the treasures found in Christ forever. To think, I got the Jesus thing, he's my Savior and Lord. Now I'm looking for another spiritual manifestation. What are the rules now that I need to follow? We did a study through Romans a year or two ago, and he just said, it's not about that. Are there new ways to live? Absolutely. But the Spirit is now in you. Christ himself is in you. And as you read this word, and as you walk with others, because you'll unpack those things for healthy living. What was one of the verses we saw here in Colossians chapter 1? It says, I'm praying for you that you would so live and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Jesus. When you wake up every day, and I wake up every day thinking about that, that will guide us into a very healthy lifestyle, very healthy mindset in walking with one another. So he says here in verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you want more in the Christian life? Do you want more joy, more peace, more patience, more self-control, more kindness, more gentle? It sounds like the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? Who doesn't want more of that? He goes, you've got him. We don't need more of Jesus. He says, I'm in you. I've sealed you. Be assured of that. Yield to me. Because you still got the flesh. And you still have a lot of whispers over here and over there. And someone else telling you how you can improve. He says, but inside there is a treasure chest. A storehouse. And it's me in you. That mystery. And my word is alive, the word who became flesh to dwell amongst us. Because God has something to say to you and me. How to know him first of all, and then how to walk with each other. So he's saying, you know, in that journey, yeah, today is like illustration day. So we've got this mining helmet. Some of you say, that looked like pretty soft. It might not help you. And I think one of these buttons, is the light on? Yeah, and maybe not the chisel, okay? Stop the video, this is not going public, I mean. And so, you know, we just look, and the chisel is a pen. Well, I'm not a journaler, neither am I. Okay, it's not talk back to the pastor day, okay? Let's stop now. And so, but we get into this word, and we go, Christ, and into us in prayer. And he says, are you content with mining the treasures that are Christ Jesus? And maybe shut out the noise. There's lots of good books that help us understand doctrine and the Christian life. He says, but when was the last time you just sat with the open Bible and just read and listened? And the goal wasn't to get through the chapter or the paragraph, but it was to hear from the Savior. So he says, we and one another need to be content. There is no next level. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Exhale, rest in him, the Master, the Savior. We need not look outside. We have any stylists in the house? I mean, how do I look? A number of years ago, when our girls were younger, they loved reading the C.S. Lewis books about Narnia. And then the movies came out, and then I enjoyed them. And so the second book, Prince Caspian, Lucy has a special relationship with Aslan, who is the lion, who is a portrayal of Jesus. And she's there, she's back, she's older now, and she's not seen Aslan yet. And she's wondering, where is he? And finally, they have a reuniting. And she says to him, to Aslan, she goes, you're bigger than I remember. And he says, Lucy, I haven't changed, but you've grown, and you've matured. That's why I appear bigger to you. And each year you grow and you mature, and I see you, I will appear bigger still. And isn't that the truth with you and I in Jesus? As we walk with him each year in the valleys and up the mountaintop, and the good and the hard, when we trust in him, when we look within, to the treasure that is Jesus, he's so much bigger. He is sovereign. He is mighty. He is such a help. He is such a comfort. He is all that I need. That treasure within says, I'm here. Step back. I'm already unlocked. The day you heard me call your name, you heard me, and it was personal. You said, Jesus, save me. So that was me knocking on the door of your heart. I came in, and the treasure's there. And maybe what we just simply need to do is walk alongside each other, teaching each other, testifying to one another, helping each other. How do I mine what's already there. Christ in me. And then we'll discover new treasures. Precious treasures. Which each difficulty, challenge, newspaper clipping, promotion, goal, desire that we have. That Jesus says, I have a way to help you walk in this, discover that. Number four, he says, in the midst of that hidden treasure, he says, there are some who would want to pull you away. So we need to, together as a church, walk alongside each other and be concerned and be cautious of the smooth-talking deceivers offering Christ and something or someone else. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. There's fine-sounding arguments. You know, there's appeals that we have. There's desires that we have. And someone who is skilled will mix in scripture and just try to draw us away. They'll say, I'm looking to take you to that next level of the Christian walk. Other than Jesus? Alone? The treasure that's mine, that's in me, that has sealed me? Oh, yeah. I've got a new and was secret, but now I know it, and I want to help you. I want to draw you to Christ. And you wait and you watch, and they will draw you away from Christ, away from that which he came and loved and gave his life for, the body. He says, be careful. When Jesus is your treasure, and when you're growing and you have that assurance and that understanding, because you're walking together, helping each other in that, you'll recognize the plausible arguments, that deluded one, that deceiver who want to pull you away. The malnourished Christian is the one who's in most danger for the cults and to pull away from Christ, because they haven't, for some reason, disciplined themselves, had an awakening of, wow, there's more than just the elementary teachings of salvation and the beginnings of Christ. There's depth in Jesus. There's truth in this word that I need to understand, to know him greater, to prepare me for him when I see him face to face, and to navigate this dark world, corrupt world, spinning out of control world, so that I don't spin out of control. He is steadfast, he is faithful, he is strong, and he will help me. And when we don't understand and see him, because we're not feeding ourselves, we're susceptible to the plausible arguments. You know, sometimes as sheep, and you know, the scripture calls us, you know, that's what we are, sheep. But all of us started as a lamb. How do you feed a lamb? With a bottle. You hold it, and you pet it. That's dangerous for a sheep. One who's grown and is in the faith for a while, you don't feed a sheep like a lamb. You say, there's the pasture. There's the healthy, nourishing food. That's your pen. Go and enjoy in and out and listen for the voice of your shepherd. But when we expect and we think the only time that I'm going to get nourishment is when somebody else gives it to me, we're susceptible to the plausible arguments and to be pulled away from the center that is Jesus. And then Paul would share, and the last point here for us is to be a church, to help each other stay strong and encouraged in Christ. We as a family need to be confident and joyful in the assurance and foundation we have in Christ. And that's what he writes. Remember, he never even met them. A few of them, Epaphras and others, had maybe left, and Aristarchus, they had come to him in Rome, but he hadn't met the church. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order. He's saying, I can see it, because I've heard about it. Your good order, he says, you're disciplined. There's order in your life instead of the disorder and the chaos, because you don't have a foundation. He goes, you have a foundation. It's a firm foundation, and it's in Christ. And you've ordered your life and navigate your life to seek him, to be under him. You came out of, you know, seeking to follow you and what you want and you want and you desire. And you say, I submit to you. And he goes, and it's so good to hear about and to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. That immovable faith. It's not us. It's him. He's immovable. He's unshakable. He knows all things. He's providentially sovereign and says, I know what's around the bend. Stay close to me. Hang on to me. And we need to be confident in that and walk with each other in that. And we can help each other not to be pulled away from the treasure that is Christ, the one who is hidden in our hearts. And as just we close these verses, and as Paul opened up about his suffering, and he suffered for the body, for the sake of the body, outside of suffering, I think the second most helpful discipline for us as believers, followers of Christ, and it may be the hardest, is waiting on God to act. The one who is within you says, wait on me. Commit to me. Trust in me. I know how I will move. I know how I will work. You stay centered. Look at the treasure. I will help you. Jesus says, I walked through some valleys. I even had a mountaintop experience. They were laying down palms. Hosanna, Hosanna. Here he is, the Son of David, the Messiah, the one we'll be waiting for. The very next week they were crying, crucify him, crucify him. Wait on the Lord as you seek the treasure of who he is. And you see him rise up. And you just will be awed as you see him work. And you trust him more. And it'll be easier the next time, because you've experienced that already. Something that only he can do. The great God, Redeemer, Reconciler, Savior, precious treasure. Let's pray. Lord, as we desire to be that church, let us take your word and chew on it, and even this week in our groups, have insight and understanding in practical ways how to come alongside, allowing others to speak into our life how the hidden treasure of Christ has become known to them. And we would have that hunger to help each other. Lord, there's some in this room that may not know you yet. It's still a mystery. You're not trying to hide. When it says hidden treasure, it's not like you're trying to hide. That mystery is now unpacked in Christ and the cross. And for that one who was here, maybe just like that, the testimony of Allie Grace earlier, and they've heard the gospel. They may have been in this church a long time, or another church, or maybe never in a church. But today they hear God saying, I'm calling you. Trust me. Yield to me. Today, now is the day. Today is a day of your salvation. Do not let it pass. that they might simply, in their heart, confess, Jesus, I need you as Lord. God, Father, forgive me for sinning against you. Save me, Jesus. Lead me, Jesus. Unlock for me in my heart the treasures that I've just heard about who you are in my life. Surround me with others. Place me in a place that will help me and encourage me in this journey. And it might be this place. That's our heart cry. Do within our heart whatever you will and whatever you please. Almighty God, in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the preaching ministry of Open Arms Church. For more information on Open Arms Church, you can check us out online at www.openarmsonline.org or download our free app at the App Store today. Once again, we want to thank you for tuning in. God bless you and have a great week.